Well, you know, hardly had Major Kehoe, director of NICAP, National Investigating Committee on Aerial Phenomenon, departed Boston a week or so ago, and the balloon really went up out in Michigan. At least something went up out there, because we have a whole rash of reports of unidentified flying objects that were sighted in the Ann Arbor area. They were seen by farmers, by policemen, the civil defense director, co-eds, roughly about 400 in all. What were they? Well, we'll get some opinion tonight, some from Major Kehoe in Washington. How about you, too? Have you had any sightings lately? You wonder what this thing called UFO is, what it's all about? First, let's have this message. Major Kehoe.
Hello, Major.
Hello?
Hello there, Major. How are you?
Hi, Bob.
Fine. I'd like a little bit later, if you don't mind, because I want to take some phone calls, talk about House Republican Leader Ford's statement today that he'd like to see a full-blown investigation of UFOs.
Yes.
Okay, right now let's take a call. Bob Kennedy, you're on contact, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to direct my question to Major Kehoe.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to know his opinion on the fact why, whenever the a sighting of UFOs is reported to the Air Force, why the Air Force very rarely reports its findings to the public, because you find, remember, the times the Air Force keeps quiet on them, they never hardly ever report their findings to the public. Although they do get national press coverage, but the Air Force never comments on them.
All right, Major.
Well, there is a high-level policy which the Air Force carries out that these things must be played down, explained if possible, to avoid the hysteria, perhaps panic. The Air Force really should not be blamed too much for this. This policy is set at a very high level, and there are many people in the Air Force that don't even believe in it. I think that it's bound to cause trouble sooner or later. But under that policy, all of the project people and the Air Force spokesman and the press desk officers are required to explain as many sightings as they can, even though some of the answers are obviously bordering on the ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bob Kennedy, you're on the air. You're in contact.
Hello, Mr. Kennedy.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I'd like to say that I'm a believer, but you and Major Kehoe over the past few months have made my wife a real believer.
Uh-oh.
And,
you know, I don't know if Major Kehoe, I'm not a believer. I don't think I'm one of the initiated. I'm not one of the born-again believers in UFOs. I kind of sit here, hopefully, with somewhat of a cynic's attitude about this. I think that's my job.
Well, I had two comments I'd like some expert opinion on, if I could.
Sure.
I'm calling from Cape Cod.
Fine.
And the first one is, I've read articles by prominent scientists, I think, at least they say they are, from Harvard and other places, who say that they've gathered from passages, not directly from the Bible, but, things like the Rosetta Stone, but not exact. I'm not saying the Rosetta Stone itself, things they've translated from recorded history, that people back then talked about the great firebird that came from the sky and the little golden man that jumped out of it and looked around and got back in his firebird and in a great blast of fire took off. And the scientists said that they thought possibly we had been visited, our planet had been visited and watched over something like you would watch over a garden pretty regularly for the past, maybe 5,000-10,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like some comment on that.
Well, there have been many reports of contact with the space people, but so far we've had absolutely no proof that any of these claims are true. So many of them are made by people who want publicity, or maybe they're deluded. It's certainly natural to think there should be contact eventually if these things keep on making such landings, but we don't have any we accept as reliable.
Major, we said a little bit earlier we'd talk about the fact that Representative Ford came out today for an investigation. I imagine this makes you sort of an elated man at this point.
Well, we know that a lot of members of Congress have been supporting hearings and urging them for some time. But there's all this changed public attitude and press attitude has encouraged some of them. And now I think that Representative Ford may get some results. We certainly hope so.
Do you have any particular theories, or have you been filtering the reports out down there about why or what or why particularly out in Michigan at this particular time? Why so many?
Well, no, we haven't figured out any pattern which would give a conclusion like that, but quite often there's been a concentration in a certain area over a period of time, and then it ends and the concentration begins somewhere else. Now, for a long time, there's one up there in New England, and now it seems to be shifting over into the Middle West. But there are not enough sightings to reach a conclusion on it. I would say perhaps if this goes on for a month, well, we should have a lot more information.
Bob Kennedy, you're in contact. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, yes. Bob, I would like to ask a couple of questions on NICAP.
Sure.
Who is it supported by the federal government, and is it affiliated with the Air Force?
No. Quick answers for you. I can do that. No affiliation with the government, no support from the government. Bob Kennedy, you're in contact. You're on the air. Hello?
Good evening, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a question. I can't remember where I heard this comment. Mm-hmm. I think it was on the last show you did with Major Keel.
Sure.
But in the comment, it was mentioned that rashes of UFO sightings were usually related to certain planets in the solar system being close to the Earth.
Yeah, the approach of Mars.
Well, I was wondering if there were any planets close to Earth at this particular time that were under suspicion.
Okay.
And also, sort of a science fiction comment.
Mm-hmm.
About a week and a half ago, I think it was the Russians that sent up a probe that did collide with Mars. And now, a week or so later, you hear about all these UFOs. But I'd like to listen to you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Major?
Well, yes, the first reports were released. It was stated out of Jet Propulsion Laboratory that there was absolutely no sign of any of the so-called canals or oases, the areas where the canal lines intersect. Now, it turns out that there actually are lines on these films, on a number of them. Matter of fact, we have seen two of these films here in the office. They were shown to us by Dr. Frank Salisbury, who is an eminent exobiologist at State University of Colorado, and who has also studied Mars for a long time, and strongly suggests that there may be intelligent life on Mars.
Now, these were films made by the astronauts, weren't they, Major Kehoe?
No, they were made by the Mariner. Remember, we the Mariner flew by there and took pictures from a distance of several thousand miles, and you couldn't expect too much detail into it, but on the basis of this, Jet Propulsion Laboratory and then NASA said there was no indication of any canals, and that idea remained fixed for a while. Now it turns out that there were lines on the films, and I don't know whether it was thought better not to mention it at the time, or whether they were belatedly discovered when somebody made a more careful examination. But they are there. Dr. Pombo, the discoverer of the planet, also confirms the fact that he's found several canals on these films.
I understand, too, that there is a movement underfoot to put more money into the Mars exploration and to sort of dismiss or not use the money that we had planned to use for the exploration of Venus, because it was felt that there was a greater reward to be reaped by putting all of our eggs into one basket, so to speak, in the exploration of Mars. Have you heard much on that?
Well, I've heard that too. I don't think any actual figures have been released showing a change in appropriation, but it seems reasonable because Mars has indicated that there's more chance of, our evidence indicates there's more chance of some kind of intelligent life there. If it doesn't exist now, then there possibly was in the past. And I believe it's right. We would get more rewards, and certainly Venus, if all of the reports the last 2 years are correct, it's very doubtful whether there is any life of the type that we would recognize, at least.
You're on contact now. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Bob.
Yes.
I was wondering something. Now, I'd like to ask Mr. Keel a question.
Sure.
Now, this gentleman said that he called the Air Force and tried to get that plane up.
Yeah.
How come this radar in Colorado can't pick it up if they say there's FOs up there? And then I have another question.
Okay.
They said that they said a boy in Maine had sighted one, and he shot at it today.
Yeah.
Could I have an answer on that?
Okay, well, he sure took a shot at it. He fired at it four times. He missed three. Hit it once. Doesn't say too much for his aim. I don't know about the UFO. Major Kehoe, what about the first thing? Did they, any was there anything picked up in any major radar sites on the flat
well,
of Michigan?
According to the Civil Defense Director Van Horn, I think he told you that FAA radar at Willow Run confirmed the fact that they had two blips in his last sighting. But there have been many cases where the Air Force, as a matter of policy in playing this down, has said there was no radar confirmation, and then later they had to retract and admit that they did have it. Now, that happened last summer out in Oklahoma. The Oklahoma State Police, and we have signed reports from their headquarters saying that they did have confirmation from the Air Force. Tinker Air Force Base in Charleston, many times that these objects were sighted out there, and they were tracked by radar. They had height, their altitudes, speeds, maneuvers, and so on. And yet the Air Force gave the public a statement that there was no radar tracking. And you simply have to accept it as a part of the policy to play these things down.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for calling, sir.
Bob Kennedy, you're in contact. You're on the air.
Hello, Bob.
Yes.
I'd like to ask a question to Major Kehoe, if I may, about a case that happened on October 23rd, 1965, out in Minnesota, where an announcer at KEYL, Long Prairie, Minnesota, supposedly saw robots or creatures shaped like tin cans with arms and tricoid legs.
No, you gotta watch those announcers. They see all sorts of things. Look out for them.
Appearing to be not flesh or tissue, but a kind of metal. Is this? How does he account for this?
Major Kehoe, do you hear anything about that?
Yes, we have, and actually the evidence is rather sketchy. And we are putting it on the question mark list. Actually, you take a thing like that, and you have to have fairly good proof. There should be several witnesses who saw that same thing and get the same dimensions. I believe that you would have to say that that is one of the unconfirmed reports.
What about the young man who mentioned the fact that that fellow up in Maine wasn't took a pot shot at a flying saucer?
Well, that has happened several times, and we've been concerned about it, too. Over the past year, there have been reports of people who were alarmed by these things and either dived out of their cars when one of them came down at rather low altitude or actually fired at them. One case in West Virginia where a man had a gun in his car, and he jumped out and shot at it. But we haven't any reports of anyone actually hitting them.
Why did you say we were concerned about that?
Well, you can, if you start that kind of feeling, you can spread alarm, and there's actually no basis to feel fear of these objects, so far as we've found out. There's no evidence of any hostility, and I think we should look at them more calmly and try to get as much scientific information as we can, and impress people with the fact that there's not been any attack, there's been no hostility, and there's a great deal that can be learned if these are actually machines from some other and more advanced civilization.
So from NICAP's point of view, somebody up there likes us?
No, I think that we don't know what motive could be back of these. It should simply be something the Air Force itself years ago suggested in the Project Guts report, that an advanced civilization was concerned because we were now preparing to go into space. We were launching high-altitude rockets. We were exploding nuclear bombs. Now they wanted to check and see whether we were likely to be any sort of a problem if we did get out of space.
Kennedy, you're in contact. You're out of the air.
Hello, Bob.
Yes, sir.
John Swinson from Andover.
Hello, John. How are you?
Pretty good. Got a good show as usual.
Why, thank you, John.
I got two questions here for Major Kehoe. I haven't been able to hear him too well on this line here, so I'll hang up after I ask him. One, I've been interested in some time. Haven't done too much about it, but here's the opportunity. Is it possible to become a member of NICAP, and how? And number two, I don't know if Major Keel will remember this. He probably will. There is an area over the Caribbean, off Florida, around Bermuda, somewhere, where many planes have been lost this Star Tiger and the Ariel are two of the famous ones back in 1948. I just wondered if he had any idea if this, if the UFOs had any connection at all with these strange disappearances.
All right, sir.
And I'll hang up.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for coming, John. What about that, Major?
Well, as far as joining NICAP, yes, we do accept members. We have members in all 50 states and 34 countries. You can write to us at 15 Connecticut Avenue, Washington, D.C., and we'll send you information on what NICAP does and the publications that are available. We'd be very, very glad to hear from you. In regard to the area of the Caribbean, yes, we have many of those reports, and it has been suggested a couple of times, at least, that UFOs were responsible for some of these very strange disappearances. But so far as I know, there's never been any definite link with a lost plane or a lost ship in that area with a UFO. So it's still speculation.
All right. Bob Kennedy, you're on the air. You're in contact.
I was wondering, I suppose Major Keogh is the one that I really was wondering about. I have heard that back during World War II that the Army and Air Force were interested in the flying saucer situation pretty much undercover. And of course, they don't say too much about it nowadays. But I heard that they went so far as to have diffraction grating cameras stationed at some of their Air Force bases, hoping to get a picture, and diffraction grating being similar to a prism, giving some sort of spectrum analysis.
Boy, the line is really conking out here if you spend all that money. Well, I think we better get to the question. Were you curious to know why they did it?
I was wondering if Major Keogh had any information on this, and if this was official or what.
Okay, fine. We'll let Major Keogh answer that for you. I'm sorry the line is so bad. Thank you for calling. Major?
Yes, they did have an official project. It was announced about 1951 or 52 for these special cameras with a grid. And it turned out to be a failure. Several times the grids came off, they weren't cemented right, they had to be taken back in and worked on them again. They never did turn up anything. Main reason because they weren't the right type of equipment, and there was no real campaign to use these things. As far as I know, they didn't register a single UFO.
Yes,
sir. First Snyder here. I got a question from Mr. Keogh.
All right.
I understand that all our astronauts while up there had sighted a lot of these UFOs, but again, it's been played down by the Air Force. On this NICAP, I'm very much interested and wondered if I could join this organization and how.
Mm-hmm. Well, we kind of answered that, but I know you were just waiting on the line, so, Major, would you underline that again and give the address?
Yes, we will accept a membership application. From citizens of the United States and foreign countries to accept people with known communist connections. We do not accept any known communists. Simply write to us at 1536 Connecticut Avenue, Washington, D.C. You can address us as NICAP, N-I-C-A-P, which is short for National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena.
Okay, I guess that's it. Brings us up to date on joining NICAP. Any dues a year, Major?
Yes, there are. $5 a year, and that includes a bi-monthly publication known as the UFO Investigator, which has all the latest sighting reports, latest developments in the Air Force investigation and in our own, and occasionally a special bulletin whenever there's some real outbreak of sighting.
Major Keogh, once again, thank you very much for joining us tonight on Contact.
Thank you, Bob.
Nice to have you back with us. Kind of an exciting week for you, I imagine, huh?
Well, things seem to be building up. Of course, it's been going on a long time.